Amen, amen. Romans chapter number 8, verses 26 through 28. Placing joy in the journey. In life, it often appears as though everything and everybody is against you. You ever feel like that? Co-workers hate you. Church folk lying on you. Family members turning their back on you. Unemployment all around. Underemployment here. And everything that you can imagine, it seems like it hits you all at once. If you're not careful, we will allow those distractions to draw our attention, and we begin to look at, we begin to focus on the things that is going on around us. I wonder if you'll be truthful tonight, whether or not you would agree with me that when you begin to go through something, it is very easy for us to stop looking at God and to begin to look at our situation. When you begin to look at your situation, we need to understand that what Satan is doing is saying, I know I can't beat you, but what I can do is trick you. I can't beat you, but I can trick you. If I can trick you, you'll beat yourself. And so he tricks us, and we begin to focus on stuff and on people, and we lose focus of what God is calling us to do, calling us to be. And when we lose focus of God, instantly we begin to go down. You see, what you focus on, you feed. What you focus on, you develop faith in. And so just like you're going through something and you begin to worship God and you begin to focus on God and your faith begins to increase, the total opposite works as well, is that when you begin to go through something and you begin to focus on your problems, then you begin to magnify your problems. As you begin to magnify your problems get bigger and your God get smaller. Because I'm looking at this, and so I'm feeding this, and so in essence what I'm saying to God is, this thing is too big for you. It may be too big for us, but it's nothing to God. That's why God sometimes will allow us to go through something, and it seems like from day one it is impossible for us to overcome that thing. And the truth of the matter is, I think that's where God wants us to be when we begin to go through something, and the first thing that we declare is, that is impossible. And when we say that is impossible, then everything that is within us say it's not necessary to fight. And when you say that it's not necessary to fight, but you're a child of God, you really invite God to come in and fight your battles for you. When God comes in and God begins to fight your battles, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And God needs a body on this earth in order to get His program completed. And so even though you faint, you pass out, you have no faith, God still wants your body, because with your body, God puts the Holy Spirit inside of you, and God doesn't want you to fight based off your physical strength, but based off your spiritual strength. You see, we sometimes go to the gym and we're pumping up the wrong muscles. The muscle that we need to pump up is the muscle of faith. But faith only cometh but by hearing the word of the Lord. And so what God does sometimes is put us in the presence of a word so that we can hear a word. As a result of hearing the word, our faith begins to increase. So where you are tonight, in comparison to where you were yesterday or last week, now that you've heard more word, now your faith is stronger. And so the thing that upset you on yesterday is really not bothering you today, because what you understand is that God is in your mess.
Amen.
And so in the midst of going through something, God wants want us to understand that He'll never leave us, never forsake us. And so here we are going through something, and God is saying, I'm right there. Relax. Have joy on the journey. But you're saying ain't nothing funny about this journey that I'm on tonight. I can't find nothing to smile about because, you know, it's just nothing. But notice what I'm saying to you is find joy on the journey, not be happy on the journey. The difference between joy and happiness is that happiness involves something happening. In other words, you got to get paid. In other words, the bills must be paid. In other words, the family must be okay. In other words, your health must be okay. So happiness is predicated on something happening. So when the something stopped happening, you can't be happy no more. But when you have joy, I don't care what else is going on, you can still have joy because your joy is connected with Jesus and not predicated on something else happening. So if nothing else is going right in your life, you've still got a relationship with Jesus. Therefore, James says, count it
all joy.
And what he used is an accounting term, and that's a credit side and a debit side. The credit side, he says, count it. Credit it on this side. In other words, you may not feel it tonight, but put it on that side anyway. Because what you have to understand is that in the midst of you going through this, God is up to something. So go ahead and take your struggles and put it on the side of a credit with God. Now, if God allows you to go through something, you must remember you're already have victory.
Amen.
Before you start, you have victory.
Hallelujah.
God cannot allow you to be in a situation and say victory is going to meet you next step. It has to already be there. Because God cannot tempt you. So whatever God allows you to go through, if you can't, or if you haven't already overcame the thing, then God is tempting you so that you got to do something. But when God is testing you, that thing that you credited, that thing that you put on God's side, when you begin to go through something, He says, bring that back.
Right.
See, you have to remember that I went through something and it was tough, but I didn't die. And so because I'm still here, God has purpose for me. It didn't feel good, but I'm still here. And because I'm still here, if God didn't have a purpose for me, He would have allowed Satan to take me out back there. But because I'm still here, there's something that He wants from me. And because there's something that He wants or desires from me, it's not predicated on how well I can do it. And so I like it where this letter to the church at Rome, it begins not by talking about strength, but it really begins in verse number 26, where he says, likewise, the Spirit also helped our what?
Infirmity.
In other words, he began by talking about your weakness. Now, generally, if you're in a fight, and the first thing, Paulette, that somebody does is point out your weakness, that means you already lost. But with God, He says, I'm going to deal with your infirmities because I need for you to understand your weakness so I can put more grace in there. As long as I got to compete with you, grace doesn't fit in.
All right.
And see, grace is not just about salvation. Grace is about everyday living.
Amen.
And so point number one tonight is that He begins with your infirmities, but He deals with number one, healing. He points out to you that you have an infirmity. An infirmity is a weakness that you have. And the simple fact that you were born in Adam's bloodline, and excuse me, but allow me to be elementary in saying that. I want to make sure that we get this. To say that you're born in Adam's bloodline, when God made Adam, the blood that was in Adam was from God, and it was pure, it was whole. When Adam and Eve sinned, his blood changed. Because his blood changed, sin came in. And because sin entered into his blood, so every person that's born after Adam and Eve received Adam and Eve blood. And because just by nature we are born into the world, we receive Adam and Eve blood, therefore we're incomplete. We're not whole. We're not perfect in a sense of sinless. And so what God has to do is he has to allow us to be born again. When you are born again, you still look the same, you still think the same, and contrary to what church folks tell you, just because you joined the church, that doesn't mean the temptations that you were dealing with on Saturday is gone on Sunday. Don't you believe that? You still struggle with the same thing. You still a child of God, still the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you still struggle with the same thing. The difference is now you have somebody inside of you that fights with you to push that stuff away. Amen. But don't get cute. Because even with the Holy Spirit inside of you, every now and then you're going to go back to that same bloodline. And you're still going to do the same thing all over again. Because that's who we are. I don't care how much you say I got it together, you don't have it together. And that's why God sent Jesus Christ and he died on the cross. He died for our infirmities so that he can give us grace. And as a result of grace, we are entitled to the kingdom of God. No other reasons. So the first thing that he begins to deal with, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. In other words, he first go after the healing part. You see, because it's hard, listen to me, if you have cancer, and I'm telling you about, I'm going to give you $100. You may need $100, but you don't need $100 more than you need the cancer to be out of your body. And so the first thing that God deals with is the cancer that is in us, that's sin. You see, sometimes what we're asking God for is not really what we need. We're saying, God, bless me, and God is saying, no, turn from your wicked ways. See, we want God to do his thing without us doing our things. But God says, if my people will humble themselves. So in other words, God is waiting on us to do something so he can not do something. He's already done. He's waiting to release something. You see, everything that you need is already there. It's just in bondage. And so what God wants us to do is move in the proper place, a place of healing, a place where we begin to deal with our infirmities, our weakness. When we deal with our weakness, then we understand grace comes in, and where grace abounds, everything else has to go. Now, it's not predicated on how wonderful, how good you are. It's predicated on your weakness, your infirmities. God deals with you not based off your righteousness necessarily, but God gives you eternal life based off your weakness, because your righteousness, independent of God, is like filthy rags. In other words, on your best day, when you wake up at 6:30, at 6:31, you still haven't moved. You just open your eyes. God is saying, even in that 1 minute, you still don't qualify for eternal life. See, because it's not about you. You can't do it. And so what God has to do is he has to fix our infirmities. So the first thing that God goes after is to heal us. Now he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Notice he used the word it helped, but it doesn't do it. Because God says, I want you to choose me. God can make all of us robots and we don't have a choice but to do it. Now, but God doesn't deal that way. God wants you to make the choice to receive him. And so he says, now the Holy Spirit will help, but the Holy Spirit won't do it for you. It requires you. Remember I said God is a spirit. So because God is a spirit, God is not the prince of this air. God is not in control of this universe. The fact of the matter is God released that to Satan, and what he says is because I released that to the prince of the air, even though I'm not in control of it, I still own it. You get the difference?
Amen.
Now, Satan is in control on this earth, but he doesn't own it. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So he'll allow Satan for thousands of years to act a fool. But one day, according to Acts 3:21, Jesus is going to part the skies and he's going to come back and redeem mankind.
Amen.
When he does, the Satan who was in charge here all of a sudden will find himself sitting over in his little house. We call it hell. And while he's sitting there, the Bible declares in the book of Revelation, watch this, that as we look upon him, we'll in essence look and say, is this the man? You ever, when you were in high school, there's some kid who always used to talk all the time, always used to act bad. And then one day you saw him, and he was about that tall, about that big. He was like, everybody afraid of him? So in essence, that's what God says about Satan, is that when we look upon him, we'll say, this little dude right here was causing all this confusion. You see, what God wants us to understand is that just because we think something is big and we think something is this great problem, just because we're looking at it, we make it that way, but it really is not. Along the journey of life, you have a helpmate. And because the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, for we're going through something, then the Bible declares, will somebody pick up reading right there for me, please? For we know not what we ought to pray. Go.
For we know not what we should pray for.
For we know not what we should pray for. In other words, God is saying to us that sometimes, even though the Holy Spirit is present, when you begin to go through something, you don't even know what to say.
Amen.
Have you ever been hit by the right thing or the wrong thing, and you didn't even know how to start the prayer?
Amen.
As a matter of fact, it wasn't words, it was tears that started the prayer. Because that thing hurt and it hit you, and you're not being super spiritual. You feel what you feel. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. But the truth of the matter is, it hurts. Keep reading.
But the Spirit itself
make
intercession for us.
So in other words, you were going through something, you were on the journey of life, and you were supposed to be enjoying it, it's supposed to be joy. Something happened, you didn't know what to pray for, and now the Bible declares, because you didn't know what to pray for, it hurts so bad, you don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit made intercession for you. In other words, you didn't know what to say. The Holy Spirit began to pray for you.
Thank you, Lord.
The Holy Spirit began to pray for you. Not only does the Holy Spirit begin to pray for you, watch this. The Holy Spirit begins to tell God what you're thinking. In a relationship. Jamaica, you should know how I feel. And Jamaica said, I've been knowing you for 20 years, but I can't get everything that you feel. God is saying, before I put you in your parents' belly, I knew you. Therefore, I even know your every thought, your every tear, your every I know what it means. Isn't it good to be in a relationship with God?
Yes.
When I can't articulate how I feel, but thank God the Holy Spirit grabs it and say, Jesus, yes, this is what he's needing.
Yes.
This is what he wants.
Yes.
Isn't it good to know that even when I don't know what to tell my daddy in heaven, the Holy Spirit said, boy, I got that thing. I know exactly what you need. But now you have to be careful, because when the Holy Spirit grabs it, the Holy Spirit is going to touch and agree with the will of God, not your will. So therefore, sometimes what you're going through, you're looking for God to release you because you want everything to be alright, but his will may not be for everything to be alright, but you still gonna make it to the other side. And so even though it's not alright, I'm traveling, so I gotta have joy even in the midst of my troubles, because I know that somebody, the Holy Spirit, is praying for me. Keep reading, please.
But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Wait. So what he's saying, the Spirit make intercession. there's several types of language. The two that I want to talk about quickly is this. You have a natural language, that's what you hear now, the English. And you also have a prayer language. Don't get up and run. When people begin to speak in tongues, and you say, Deacon Ray, what you saying? He doesn't know. And he's not talking to you. So you don't need to know what he's talking about. Speaking in tongue is a gift that God gives you, and it's your prayer language. When God does something, sometimes premature, we'll release it and we'll say, Jamaica, you know what? Somebody told me they're going to give me a house. And so I say that to Miss Pam, and Miss Pam go, and she go tell this young lady, and then all of a sudden, folk begin to pray against what God told you. But when you speak it in tongues,
hey. Glory to God.
The enemy doesn't know what you're talking about. Because Satan can't pick up on that one.
That's right.
His antennas don't work for that one.
Yeah.
And so when you begin to pray to God in tongues, even though you don't know, the Holy Spirit said, here I go again. I grab it and I present it to God. Remember in the book of Jude, what the Spirit is doing and what God is saying is that now it's a him.
Yes.
That is able.
Hallelujah.
To keep you from falling. You're going through something, you're struggling, but he's going to keep you from falling.
Yes.
You see, what we have to understand is that God, through the Holy Spirit, knows exactly what you're praying.
Hallelujah.
Now, the issue is relationship. And so when I'm in relationship with God, I'm not praying asking God to hook me up with the married man's wife, because God is not in agreement with that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oops. See, sometimes we praying, Lord, I wish you would kill Deacon Ray and let his car run off his truck. And God is saying, I'm not in agreement with that one.
Right.
See, for the Holy Spirit to intercede, it has to be, or he has to be in agreement with God and with you.
Yeah.
And so if there's no agreement, that's why the Bible says that you should touch and agree. That's why the Bible says when two or three is gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst, because you really want power from your prayer, touch and agree with somebody.
Alright.
And every now and then, open your eyes. And if they're not excited about what you're asking God for, I'm talking to the person sitting next to you, they're not in agreement with you.
Right.
You ever told somebody about how good God has been to you and the blessing, and then they were looking at you crazy, and you couldn't figure that thing out because you wanted them in pain? Why aren't you happy with me? See, everybody's not in agreement with you. You got to be careful. Keep reading.
And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit.
Now, listen. He that searches, verse 27, searches the heart. So he moves from healing to hearing. So he that searches the heart knows, no doubt about it, it knows. And the only reason you can know something is saying here, because you heard from God. So without a doubt in your mind, God is speaking. Not in the natural, but in the spiritual. That's why you sound stupid sometimes when you tell people what God told you. Because they can't say that. Because how are you going to do that? And you dropped out of the 10th grade and you don't have a job right now. How are you going to do that? And so you're so crazy, you're trying to articulate spiritual stuff in the natural. You can't do it. Faith must be followed. It can't be explained. If you can explain your faith, nobody should be following. See, because God pushed you out on the limb and said, you can't see nothing out there. Now trust me right there. You won't. Do you know, God, I'm looking over the cliff? I know what you're looking over, but do you know that even if you jump off, baby, I'll give you a soft landing? You got to know that God is saying to you, it doesn't matter what you're going through, you will not fall.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Keep reading.
Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
He maketh intercession for who?
Saints.
Now, watch this. Sometimes people in the world can open the Bible, read something, and say, I got it. What you read in the Bible is for God's people. It's for you. And so the intercession and everything that you're reading, he says, I'm doing it for the saints. If you're not a saint, he's not talking to you. See, we want God's blessing without coming under the umbrella of God. And he says, no, I'm doing this for who?
The saints.
Keep reading.
And we know that all things work.
Now, maybe, he says, maybe, in verse number 28. And he says, and maybe all things.
No.
You see what he says? He says, no. And we know. And we know. All things what?
Work together.
So he moves from healing to hearing, and now he says it all worked together. In other words, my struggles, my trials, he moves to a place of harmony.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm in a relationship with God. I'm at peace with God. Because I'm going through something, but what I know, I know this, that in spite of me being in trouble, God already knew me before the trouble started.
Yeah.
So you're not in trouble. And God said, well, look at that crazy person. How did they? No, God said, I knew they were going to do that.
Mm.
You don't surprise God when you find yourself in something. And God says, now, how did they find themselves there? God is saying, I knew it. And that's why I needed them to be in harmony with me. I need to use your troubles to show somebody my glory. So if you just be patient, it's going to hurt a little while as you journey through this thing. But I promise you, on the other side, I promise you I'm going to bless you like never before. When everybody was laughing at you because they thought that what you were going through was funny, and now when they look at you, and you got 2-3 jobs, and you just chilled out, making twice what you used to make, and God is saying, give me some glory right now.
Right, yeah.
Give me some glory, because nobody brought you through but God. So he says now, and we know all things work together for the good of them that what?
Love God.
Now remember, he talked earlier about the saints. Now he talks about loving God. Because he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. If you keep my commandment, that makes you a saint. Now a saint doesn't mean that you got it all together, you never fall down. Because the truth of the matter is, when you become a saint, that's probably when you fall the most. Because that's when you catch the most, you know what? See, when you call God your father, then Satan attacked you. Before that, and he wasn't concerned about you because he had you. But the moment that you says, I'm a child of God. And you know stuff, when you were going through stuff and you were in the world, somebody will always give you a beer. Somebody will always give you a cigarette. You can always go home with somebody. Things are just cool when you're in the world. And then you got crazy and you joined the church. And then you got crazy and you start believing the Bible. And it seemed like hell broke loose.
Amen.
Some of y'all are looking at me like, no, he didn't say that. Yes, I did. Y'all know that. When you were in the world, it seemed like everything was cool.
That's right. That's right.
And now you're a child of God, and it seems like I just cannot win for losing. It seems like every time you try to get this right, this breaks over here, and you're like, man, this is backwards, because when I was in the world, I was just flowing. Now I come to church, I can't move.
Amen.
All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. And what?
To them who are called according
called.
To
Christ. To them that is called. Let me say this in closing. When it says that you're called, what he's saying is what you're going through, I chose you. See, you thought that if you would have did it with somebody else and or like this, you never would have got called. But he said, no, I called you to that. I swung your door open. And so when he swung your door open and allowed somebody to look in your closet, he said, oh Lord, I'm through. And he says, no, you're right where I want you to be. You're right where I want you to be. I can't, God, because if you only knew the pain If you only knew the fear, the struggle that I was dealing with right now, God, you would just quickly deliver me. And he said, no, baby, I know what's inside of you. I know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, your little ego got you on, you know, you're tripping because you're in the world. And so it's not so much that it hurts. You just think people looking at you and you're concerned about what they're going to say. And God is saying, I want them to see your stuff, because when they see your stuff on this side, when I bring you through by gracing you through, then they'll understand that only God. And see, then somebody's going to come to Christ because they saw you going through the struggles and you thought all along it was about you. But God is saying, but I set you up because I needed somebody to see you. You did tell me I could have my way with you. That's what you told me a year ago when you joined the church and you were happy that day and you were dealing off emotions. You told me, Lord, have your way. And God is saying that on this day, I want to have my way. Now, you don't mind if I use you just for a little while. As a matter of fact, I'm going to drop you in the storm and you're going to feel like I left you in the storm. But don't worry. I promise you, I never leave you, never forsake you. But it's going to feel like that. And so even though it's going to feel bad in the storm, I need you to know, in spite of what you're going through, you will not drown. No water will ever come upon you that you can't handle. I just need you just to act real calm in the storm. I need for somebody to look at your life and give me some praise, because they know that you're not standing on your own. You're only standing by the grace of God. That's why somebody is looking at you tonight and wondering how you're still standing. That's why somebody is looking at you tonight and saying, I don't know how that person made it through that. And you looking at them and say, I didn't make it. It's all by the grace of God. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. It's to release it and say, no, no, not me. It's the grace of God.
Yeah.
See, as you begin to journey through life, what God wants us to do is to have joy. To have joy. See, if you're just waiting to get to heaven to praise him, that's awful. And the truth of the matter is, who wants to serve a God that I gotta wait till I get to heaven? I gotta wait till I die to have a good time. Why? Why? That doesn't make sense. See, you'll go through some things on earth, but he'll also give you samples of heaven right here.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but every now and then I need to feel the presence of God. I don't know about you, but every now and then I need God to show up in my life and show me an old time blessing. I'm talking about like open the Red Sea blessing. Just do the impossible. I need to feel it sometimes. Now, I'm not just sending all my timber up so when I get to heaven it's all dressed. No, baby, give me some here. My daddy's here. He's alive. Give me some here. Give me a job when the unemployment rate is 9.5. Open up something for me. Let somebody call me, tell me my credit card debt is forgiven. Open up something. Show me something. Let me go to the doctor, have cancer, walk away, and the doctor say, I can't find it. Show me something here. That's the God that I want to serve.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. He wants us to have joy on the journey. In closing, I want to challenge you to relax just a little bit. To know that everything that you go through, it's already worked out. It was worked out before
Hallelujah.
You got started.
Hallelujah.
It's already worked out. But you have to go through it. So smile. Smile. Bumps, bruises, smile. Setbacks along the way, smile. Because what he promised you is that you are going to go through it. And if you're going through it, eventually you're going to make it to the other side. Don't stop. Because it has to start all over again. Keep going. James Cleveland wrote a song, and the song says, I don't believe he brought me this far. Have you been blessed tonight?